this evening. Mickey, I believe, is still in Kentucky right now, but let's remember that. And by the way, can you all hear me? Actually, I guess I should ask, is this on? Thank you, Denise. Okay. Let's remember to keep Mickey in our thoughts and prayers as he's going to be beginning a gospel meeting on Monday next week in Jonesboro, Arkansas, at the Stone Street Congregation. Apparently there are some issues at the Stone Street Congregation, and Mickey has a few concerns about going into the meeting, so let's keep him in our prayers. And this evening, we're going to begin again in the fourth chapter, the fourth handout, fourth lesson, I should say, of our class on authority, dealing with Jesus as a source of authority. And let's see, as we begin this evening, could I ask David Skinner, could you kindly direct our minds in prayer? Amen. Jane, can I ask you to distribute these handouts? James is going to be distributing a handout that we're going to be using during the latter part of class this evening, but as is customary in this class, we want to start out by asking a few questions. And let's see. Bruce, if I wanted to know what a verse was that would tell me that many times there are ways that seem right to us as men, but they aren't the right ways. They're not the right way. Where would I go to find that verse? Yeah, that's a companion verse, so to speak, to the one that's in our material. I think the one that's in our material specifically is Proverbs 14 and 12.
14, 12, 16 from Proverbs, almost identical.
Yeah, they are. Okay. And who can cite a verse that tells us that if we don't abide in Christ, we don't have God? Okay. That was 30. Okay. 4. No. No. This is a handout that I prepared for class this evening. How many do you think we need? Another 10? Okay, thanks, Richard. Okay. Let's see, who can cite a verse that talks about how we should think of Old Testament scriptures?
Okay.
Romans 15:4. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Okay. Very good. How did Jesus teach? Carolyn?
I'm not sure.
Can you cite a verse that tells us how Jesus describes how Jesus taught?
Do you mean like with authority, not as a scribe?
That's exactly what I mean.
I thought you
mean like method. No, I wasn't referring to that at all. Not the Socratic method or anything like that.
I don't remember where that is, though. Oh, wait.
Who remembers where that's found? Jesus taught as one having authority, not as the scribes. Okay. Chris?
Matthew
7. 21 through, okay, 28-29. Now, who can cite a verse that teaches us that it's possible to be plucked out of the kingdom? David Skinner. Or how about Matthew 13? The Son of Man shall send forth
his angels.
His angels. Okay.
Through 42.
Can you remember?
I remember just not knowing.
Who can remember the rest of that? The Son of Man shall send forth his
angels, and that they shall gather out of the kingdom of all things that offend them which do iniquity.
Okay. Okay. And should we think of men more highly than that which is written? If not, where is that found?
4:6.
Okay. And what verse teaches that we should do all things in the name of or by the authority of the Lord? Colossians 3:17. Well, yeah, I mean, that teaches that Jesus has all authority. Right. Okay. And what verse teaches the principle that we do not add to, or change, or subtract from the Word of God? Okay, Revelation 22:18. Okay. Who can think of scripture that teaches us that we are to hear Jesus today?
The Transfiguration, Matthew 7.
Okay. And along with that, scripture that teaches that God has spoken to us today by His Son. Joey?
Hebrews 1.
Okay. Hebrews 1. Bruce had that also. Okay. Now, who can think of a scripture that we have studied quite a bit in the class that Chris taught over the last X number of months in our study of Acts? Who can think of a scripture where we find that Jesus has been made both, and He was crucified and made both what? Lord and
King.
Okay, Christ. And that is Acts 2:36. Now, that's a very important scripture in this study of authority. There we see that Jesus has been made both Lord and King. He's a king. There must be a kingdom. And the church is not a democracy. The church is not a republic. The church is a kingdom with a head, with a king. Okay. And let's also all remember, let's keep in mind, let's add one more verse to these that we've been looking at for the last few minutes. Romans 1:4. On the same subject, really, as Acts 2:36, that speaking about Jesus, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. Okay? Jesus is declared to be the fulfillment of the seed promise. How? He was the one who was raised from the dead. He was the one who was raised from the dead. He is the one, therefore, who's been declared to be both Lord and Christ. Chris, did you have a comment? Okay. Okay, picking up where we left off in our discussion last week, we'd gotten to Matthew 28 and verse 18, where Jesus says that all authority has been given unto him. And then other verses were brought up. Well, what about 1 Corinthians 11 and about verse 3? Which says what? John Grigalski, do you remember? Okay, the head of Christ is God. But yet Christ says, all authority has been given to me. And as I remember, Randy brought up several scriptures in the book of John, indicating that Jesus was following or carrying out the will of the Father. But yet Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me. So, how do we reconcile? How do we start to reconcile these different scriptures? Let's see. I think I always remember this scripture incorrectly. Richard, isn't it 1 Corinthians 14:33? Or is it 15:33? God is not the author of confusion. Is it 14? Okay. That's just like I've always memorized that other scripture as being Romans 15:5, not Romans 15:4. Okay, we know that God is not the author of confusion. So let's try to reconcile these scriptures that have been brought up. Now, I want you to look at the first page of this handout that I believe all of you have. And maybe different ones in the class this evening can think of other. And I'm going to use some accommodative terms tonight in talking about the Godhead, about some divisions, shall we say, in the existence of Christ. Now let's notice on the timeline here that we have eternity from the very beginning, eternity to creation. John, did you have a question?
Are we on this handout now?
Yeah.
Okay. What you have here is you have equality on one side and subjection on the other. Meaning, almost like they're exclusive. And you put it on the timeline. I've never thought of it like that. I've thought of it exactly as the verse that I have here. Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman. It's not like before you were married, they were equal, but then you're married and that's changed. It's just one of those in subjection. Just because one's in subjection doesn't mean they're not equal. So I don't know that it falls in a timeline where we're here, but I'm here with subjection.
Well, let's see what does. Let's just go on and see what does fall in a timeline. Okay? Maybe we can think of the existence of Christ in these divisions from eternity to the creation, from creation to, shall we say, the birth of Jesus, and from the birth of Jesus to the cross, and from the cross to the ascension, and from the ascension to now. And let's say the second coming and eternity. Now, it appears from Scripture that a case can be made that there is a voluntary subjection in the Godhead. David Skinner.
Going back to creation, or Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of heaven. Let us and our, right there in Genesis chapter 1.
Okay. Yes, let us make man in our image. And along with that, let's note John 1:1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in that same chapter, the third verse, all things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And from Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him, speaking of Christ. Okay? Chris?
I've got Christ.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the other half is. Is it the Father?
Right. Okay. Right. What we're saying is, what we're really saying is that there was a time in eternity when Christ and the Father were equal in rank. We'll see that as we go on. Exactly.
Okay.
Voluntarily.
But at the same time, having all authority.
But at the same time, having all authority and still being God.
And still being in subjection.
Yes. Voluntarily. And we're going to see some scripture where that is accepted that you are about to mention. John? Where do we find, well, I think in these verses that we're looking at here,
just because there's a rank doesn't equate with
Well, all right, let's take a look at that as we go through this, okay?
I'm not disagreeing with John, but the same scriptures do say that he was made a little lower than the angels.
Yes, and he was made a little lower than the angels. Okay.
He was
right.
Lower.
But what we have right now, we're looking at a set of scriptures, John 1:1, John 1:3, Colossians 1:16, and Hebrews 1, verses 8 through 10, where it says of the Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of His kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions. And thou, Lord, in the beginning," and here's the point, "didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand." Now, who is that speaking of?
Jesus.
Jesus. Okay?
Terry, question? Just asking for some clarification.
Okay.
When Chris was asking his question, did I hear you correctly say that, that throughout Jesus' life here on earth, that even throughout that entire period when he was made a little lower than the angels for a while, did he still have all authority?
That wasn't.
Okay. It's at that point in time at the end of Matthew where he says,
right,
authority has been given unto me, implying that prior to that he didn't have all authority. If all authority has been given unto him. And
right.
As we pointed out last week, we did see that while he was here on earth, he did have some authority, especially when he said, "Don't you know that I could call down legions of angels?" You know,
and he had the authority to forgive sin.
Yeah, absolutely. But yet, it certainly sounds like prior to that point in time he didn't have all authority. Unless I'm misunderstanding.
No, you're right. It sounds that way. Okay. Now, Chris?
Yeah. If I were to go up and tell Caitlin that, you know, all authority has been given to me over you, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that before this point in time I didn't have authority.
Okay. Okay. But we see Jesus having all these attributes of God, of deity. As David mentioned, "Let us make man in our image." The heavens and the earth being created. Now, let's notice this time period on the chart from creation to, let's say, his birth. Bruce?
I was just going to mention just something in Romans chapter 1, where it talks about the King James says God did. Here it says, verse 18, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it unto them." It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things in which he made, even his eternal power, the Godhead.
Okay. Even his eternal power. Now, in this time period, to use that term, from say the creation to birth, Let's notice Philippians 2, verses 5 and 6. And Joey, I think this is one you were alluding to a few moments ago. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, now he did at one time, he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. So there was a time when he was what? When he was equal with God. Now notice John 8:58, where Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. Now isn't that the same words that were used in Exodus 3 and 13? James?
John 17:5. Jesus said, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was.
Before, okay. So the glory that I had.
When he was with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking to having to being in that, what's the word I'm looking for, position again, if you will.
Well, okay, we'll take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 on that point later. But this word, this phrase in Exodus 3 and verse 13, the meaning of that phrase in the original Hebrew actually means the becoming one, which means or denotes the one who causes things to come into being or existence. I am the one who has caused things to come into existence. So Jesus says in 8:58, in John 8:58, about himself, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. Okay? Now, notice that there's a point in time talked about back over in John, the first chapter, in verse 14. And the Word became flesh. So at some point in time, God became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Okay? Now, simply the point being that after this time, when we see when Scripture says the Word became flesh, isn't that when we start seeing a number of verses appear that Randy brought up last week, such as John 14 and 28. You heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Okay? My Father is greater than I. And notice what's recorded in Mark 14:36. Abba, Father, all things are possible for thee. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what thou wilt. Speaking of God the Father. Not my will, but what God the Father wills. Joey?
Isn't it true that all of these verses of this kind where he's showing his submission to the Father, or his subservience, that was all before the death on the cross and the resurrection?
Yes, it was. Well, we're going to go on and talk about that.
Okay.
John?
In Philippians 2, 5, 3, 8, this one. He existed in the form of God, but did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but himself taking on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of man. Did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped. I've seen that as a thing to hold on to.
John, you know what I really think you're alluding... I think you're on the right track there. What you're really alluding to is that in God's plan, in this scheme of redemption, someone had to carry it out. And that someone was Jesus. But the scripture that you were paraphrasing does say that he emptied himself. He did this himself, voluntarily. Now, and again, just to move on, John 5:19, for instance, for whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. The Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And Matthew 20:23, he said to them, my cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, this isn't mine to give. That's not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. Okay? So we see a number of verses where in this time period from the birth to the cross, Jesus is following, doing the will of God the Father. Okay? Now, Joey.
Choosing himself to be in submission to the Father.
Yes, that's what I'm... That's what I mean by the word voluntarily. Now, and moving on, and getting to the time frame that you were starting to get into, let's everyone notice John 20 and verse 17. After the cross and before the ascension, what is the statement made here by Jesus to the woman? And he said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Now, also, let's point out that a couple of chapters over, because we don't want to lose this point. What is it? In the 20th chapter of John and verse 28, What does Thomas say to Jesus?
My Lord and my God.
My Lord and my God. Jesus did not refuse that worship, did he? Right.
In the verse you just quoted in verse 17.
Right. So it appears that during this time period before the ascension, he's what? He's still in subjection voluntarily to the Father. James?
In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, though he was the Son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered.
Right. David Dixon. Now, now we have now. Let's move on to take a look at a few verses from the time period. The next time period that we might call, starting with after the ascension to the present, Joey. Well, let's see. Hold that thought. Let's see. Let's just see what the scriptures say and see if it is a turning point. Carolyn?
Being as we're right at the point of the ascension, immediately before the ascension in Acts 1, verse 7, we read, he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. So it sounds as if, I don't know where you're going next, but perhaps some of that authority is going to still continue because
okay.
Seeing that that's immediately before the ascension.
Okay, Joey.
Philippians 2, the next couple verses after the one that you have so you had said 5-8. But notice in verse what it also says in 9. It's verse 8 it says he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. But read on. Therefore, okay, why? Because of the death and resurrection. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and has given him the name which is above every name.
Yes.
So, again, that critical turning point is when he conquers death. Now all authority has been given unto me and has been exalted and given a name above every name.
Oh, okay. I see where what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, Philippians.
Okay.
The very next verse, 9, talks about that turning point because it says, therefore, as a result of him overcoming death and being raised, God has exalted him and given him a name.
Right. John Gergowski.
I think the turning point is when he was flesh, because he was a man. As a man, he's not God, and man is lower than God.
Okay.
But when I say turning point, I mean the point where he was, you know, exalted and put back to that position. Yeah, that was
okay.
The death and
one more, James.
We do see a turning point. If we go back to Daniel 7, beginning in verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory
power
and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed.
Right.
So you underscore then.
Mm-hmm.
When he ascended to the Ancient of Days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, so from the ascension to all of us living here in the present, Let's know. We already looked at 1 Corinthians 11 and 3, which says that the head of Christ is God. Okay? Corinthians was written after the ascension. Okay? Clearly. In 2 Corinthians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And speaking about God in the fourth chapter of Acts, look at verses 27 and 30. For truly in this city there were gathered together against them, against thy holy servant Jesus. Okay. It appears in this time period, from the ascension to present, that this voluntary subjection is still going on. Now, let's all turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 27 and 28. Okay, and who has gotten there before I did? Bruce?
For he has put all things under his feet. For he has said all things that are put under him. It is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted.
Right, okay, let me stop you there. Okay, remember in Matthew 28 and 18 we said in commenting on that verse that all authority has been given in to Jesus, but God the Father is accepted. Okay, there it is. Okay, Bruce, go ahead and up.
Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be in subjection to him who put all things under him, that God
may be all in all. Okay, Dick?
I can't find it, but what does it say? When the apostles are talking to the kingdom, they said, when will the kingdom come? He said, I don't know that. Only the Father knows when the kingdom will come.
Matthew 24 and 36? That might be what you're referring to. Okay, thank you. Bring your charts again next week, and we will, early on in class, we will finish this topic. That might be what you're thinking of, but I'm not sure.
I read it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. Oh, gosh. Now, who put me down for song leading tonight?
Thank you. us to number 390. Anywhere with Jesus, number 390. Sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go.